Hello, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Print Life Podcast, and today I'm excited to share an interview with Catherine Wise. Catherine is a versatile fashion print and graphic designer who brings her creative vision to life as a freelancer and through her own print collections. She balances her design business with teaching roles at UK fashion and textile degree courses, where she supports the next generation of designers. Additionally, she offers specialized training for industry professionals. Her background as a trend book designer allows her to seamlessly integrate trend and color into her work, inspiring both her designs and her students. Join me in welcoming Catherine to the show. You're listening to the Print Life Podcast. I'm Leslie Kinahan, owner and creative director at White Buffalo Studio and founder of the Print Life Community. This podcast was created to offer insight into the hidden world of print design. If you're a surface pattern or print designer who wants to attract dream clients, increase sales, and build a sustainable business that you love, you're in the right place. With over a decade of experience, I'll be covering all things surface pattern and print design, sales, marketing, and mindset to support designers in growing a creative business. Whether you're freelance, in-house, or just getting started, I've got you covered. Welcome to the Print Life. Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for chatting with me today on the Print Life podcast. Welcome.
Hi, Leslie. Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Before we dive in, I always like to ask our designers who come on the show to give us a little bit of a background into your journey and how you ended up in the surface pattern design space. Was it an intended path or was it more serendipitous?
It was, for me, I did a lot of art when I was at school, when I was at college, and it was all fine art. It was painting. I lived in Northamptonshire, which is in the UK. It's quite countryside. And I found out about the London colleges, and I ended up going to study for a year in London at sort of age 18, and did a art foundation, which just covered everything. And I loved the fashion and textiles, particularly the textiles. So I went to a different city in the UK and did a textile design degree, which I also loved. And I ended up specializing in prints. But I don't think I necessarily had much of an idea of what a print designer or the print industry was, really. I got a little introduction into that you could do home design or you could do fashion print. But I don't think I really understood it. So I left my degree and they ended up kind of screen printing and doing sort of graphic design and big kind of art pieces. And I wasn't quite sure what I was, really. So I ended up going back to London and working at Paul Smith in their head office. Doing visual merchandising and franchise support. Completely different, not creative, lots of fun, amazing people, but I knew it wasn't me. So in the end, I went traveling. I ended up in Australia. I did some work in a screen printing studio. And again, I didn't really know necessarily how to grasp that kind of fashion print thing, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do, but I didn't really know how. So when I came back to the UK, I self-taught myself Photoshop and Illustrator. I had a couple more jobs in sort of industry, but not design. And then I ended up going to a company that did trend books in the UK. And I ended up working there for a long time, doing print and doing graphics for trend books. And I ended up being the design manager for trend books. It just gave me this kind of big experience of everything, fashion and textiles and trend books. So I then had my first little boy and I carried on working doing that because I'd been there for years. And I just couldn't do the balance of lifestyle anymore. So I then ended up going freelance, which was about 7 or 8 years ago. He's now coming up 10, so it must be about 8 or 9 years ago, maybe. Wow. Time's flying.
Yeah.
I love that. So what an interesting path. I feel like
unusual.
You and I have a lot of similarities. I think it's interesting that many of us that went to school for fashion or textiles didn't get that full understanding of this whole world that's available to us until we're out there in it, right? And graphic design, I did as well. I think that's funny that I think a lot of people who end up starting out in graphic design somehow find this union of like fashion and graphics in print design. Really beautiful. And what an amazing experience to be working in trend and kind of seeing all that beautiful direction and understanding how it works at the beginning of the career. So tell us a little bit about that transition into freelancing. It's different for everybody. So if you want to tell us a little bit about how you made that decision to dip your toe into freelancing and what it looked like in that beginning stage.
I think, funnily enough, I'd always kind of envisioned myself working for myself. I don't know why. And maybe that's why I didn't end up in head offices doing a traditional kind of design route. Maybe I was sort of searching out something slightly different. So when my little boy was young, I was tired and I spoke to my bosses at the time and said, I think I'm going to leave, but can I carry on working for you? I'm going to set myself up. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll make an agreement and you'll do a certain amount of days a month. And so I carried on working for them and I carried on working on the trend books as a freelancer this time. And I'd always been the person at the other end of that who would brief the freelancers and send them the direction and say, here's what I'd like. So I was suddenly the opposite end where they were sending me the stories. And so I knew how it all functioned. So that was a really easy transition because it didn't feel that different. And that meant that I just had this steady kind of flow of work. And then I had a friend who was leaving a role in a university. And she said, do you want to come and do this? And it was going into just do a few hours, not a lot, working on modules with design students for a lingerie, a contour degree.
Okay.
So I ended up doing teaching kind of swimwear print, lingerie print, teaching them how to draw garments, put a range together. So I sort of applied everything I already knew from doing trend books into education. So for a long time, those two things were like my bread and butter. So I was going into university, I was doing a little bit of teaching and of all the stuff I already knew how to do. And I was still working on the trend books. And that kind of kept me going. Yeah. And thankfully, because I don't know that I had the time or the energy or the possibly like the know-how to go out and search for more. I did little bits, but I think I was still not that confident to go out guns blazing and find myself big bits of work. So I kept it quite small.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So I get asked all the time, you know, is it best to have the in-house position first and then go freelance or to just go freelance? And I believe that everyone's story is different. But what I do often hear for anyone listening who is questioning like maybe where to begin in this space, sometimes having that in-house job really does give you the opportunities to go freelance with a little bit more ease. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I think just in terms of, for one thing, contacts, for having people that trust you and know what you can do and just almost talking in the same language as people takes time to build up. And I also think you can be beautifully creative and talented, but in some respects, working in this field, you need that kind of technical underpinning to be able to send out a file or to make things small enough or to make things the right end result for a print design. So you need that kind of underpinning of understanding how things work so that when you're on your own, when there's no technical team and no one's going to help you, you can kind of problem solve and work things out for yourself and, you know, keep adapting your portfolio and doing self-managed work and figuring out where that might come from. I think that takes just time and experience to self-manage and self-initiate your projects and your inspirations and know sort of what your market level is or who you're positioning this for. You just don't know those things until you've had that little bit of experience.
Yeah. So I think that that's a really good point. And I started in-house as well, but kind of an in-house freelancer, but it was still in-house. I could ask those questions. I wasn't just kind of like figuring it out at home alone, you know? And I think that that can be tough. And I think that's where a lot of freelancers who start just pitching without having that experience start to feel like that confidence.
It's a bit intimidating.
Yeah, it's intimidating. Yeah. And it's hard to continue to push through when you're not getting that feedback or that support from anyone around you.
Yeah.
So
I
like hearing that. I think it can be important. So tell us a little bit about, so you're home now doing a few days at teaching and then a few days with the company that you are at. Did you do this basically for your whole freelance career, or did you also then begin to pick up clients for print design specifically, or were you mainly designing for trend books?
Yeah, so I think the trend books, although I've done some I've done little bits of sporadic trend book stuff right the way through, that kind of started to drop off a little bit, which was good because then it pushed me to go out and figure out what I was doing a bit better. Which again, I did very slowly because I had a second little boy. So these things take over. So I think for a very long time, and I'm still a little bit there right now, where the teaching has been like my bread and butter and it's kept me going. When there's been times where I'm like, eek, there's not much freelance, or I'm not managing to sit and do print design that I could then sell, the teaching has been the thing that's kept me going. So I guess that's like a lot of people, where sometimes you have to take that part-time job or just do something to keep you going. I've needed that too. I've definitely needed that. So the teaching has been that. So I swapped to a different university, which is much closer to home. I now work on a fashion promotion degree where they're doing lots of kind of amazing photography and brand identity, and it's kind of taught me a lot about how to do your own brand, and it's all things digital design. And then I stopped with the training and the trend book design and sort of swapped to a different company to do training and workshops and kind of creative teaching, which is called CAD for Fashion. So I still have that. That's another little thing I do. And then I do client work and freelance just whenever it fits in. Like certain times of the year I'm more heavily kind of teaching and training and doing that and workshops, and then other times of the year I'm doing much more design work. So I'm coming into a nice period of time now where I swap away from the teaching and I kind of go into 6 months of really solidly designing.
Nice. And when you say client work, like what did that look like when you started drumming that work up on your own? Was it through connections you had already made, or were you out there kind of pitching?
Honestly, I've been terrible with social media and pitching myself. I know it's one of my biggest things that I need to improve on. Let's put it that way. So I've been really lucky that throughout this whole time, it's been connections, it's been people kind of coming to me or me going to them, and just maybe a little bit of LinkedIn, making contacts, but definitely through people that I already knew, I tend to get little bits of work coming through like that. Yeah.
Through relationships you had already established having that in-house position.
And I know that I've definitely kept it small because I needed to keep it manageable. I'm at a point now where I would maybe kind of go, right, you need to push a little bit harder. So the marketing and everything, I'm sort of planning to do a bit more pitching. And I think I've sort of just transitioning out of the point of having very young children to be able to feel like you could probably do this now. Whereas I think if when I had really young children, I think if I pushed myself to pitch all of the time and I had lots of clients coming in with deadlines, I'm not sure I would have coped.
No, I even gave that a try after I had my son. I put my studio on hold and thought, you know what? I can't do that right now. I want to be home and enjoy this, but I wonder if I could do a little freelance. And I picked up a couple clients and I just felt like it wasn't sustainable at that time in my life. And I preferred creating and seeing what happens rather than being one-to-one with people on calls, turning things around on a deadline. It's like, absolutely, this doesn't work right now.
I agree.
So kind of going back a little bit, you mentioned CAD for Fashion, and I'm sure many of our listeners know a little bit about that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about CAD for Fashion, your involvement with them, and what that is exactly?
So CAD for Fashion is actually one lady called Erica, with a group of us who train with her and work with her. So we kind of all have our own businesses, but then we all work with CAD for Fashion as well. So it's UK based, and we've all come from the fashion industry, and she kind of saw that there was a real need for training for people that were going into industry. And yes, you probably on degrees, you have a small amount of Illustrator and small amounts of Photoshop, but within big group sizes and you're under deadlines, and it's maybe, you know, you've not learned as much as you could have done. So you go into these head offices and you wing it a little bit. You try and figure things out and you pick up things from all over the place. And actually, it was that kind of need for people need a bit of support here to maybe do things quicker or a little bit easier, or be shown how to do something that they don't know how to do. And that's something that I'd always done in my previous company that I'd worked for. And I sort of swapped to working with CAD for Fashion because I think in terms of innovation, they're doing lots of CLO and lots of 3D. And it's just really nice. And I have a live calendar where people can book in to do some of my workshops that I run. So I do some really nice kind of trend and forecasting and sort of how to build trend into your print design. It's all online, so it's nice because we have so many freelancers working at home. So it's nice because we can jump online and I can do like maybe a one-to-one with somebody and just train them up on something. So I've worked with all sorts of people, knitwear designers, print designers, people on their degrees, you know, people that have been in industry for a long time and they've maybe always hand-drawn and now they need to do Illustrator or they need to do things in a digital way and they don't know how. So it's all sorts of things, but it suits me because it's something that I like the challenge actually of kind of sitting with somebody and saying, what do you need to do? And they might show me their design work and say, I need to do this, but I don't know how. And I like the challenge of kind of problem solving, looking at their design files and going, okay, so let's figure this out and see what we can do. So it's just a nice little extra thing. Again, like the teaching, it's quite a nice way of me keeping my skills up to date and helping other people, other designers.
I love that because oftentimes when I speak with designers who are like, I want to dive in, but I need that income, it's so important to have something stable on the side while you're building so that you don't have that pressure, because we're creatives and you can't, if you have all that pressure, you're not really creating your best work. But to be able to have a side job that still keeps you fresh and in the industry is so, so great that you're able to do that.
Somebody once told me that I have a portfolio career and I didn't really understand what that meant. And they said, it means that you're not just doing one thing to sustain you. You're kind of letting a few things run alongside each other. And they all sustain each other. And I quite like that because I think that means, for one thing, it's not boring. So I'm doing some design, I'm doing some training, I'm doing some teaching, but they all kind of help each other. You know, they're all quite similar in what they are.
I quite like that myself too. So tell me a little bit about, so you're a member in the Print Life, and I am really excited that you've been contributing videos for us in the Fashion Lab. One of them specifically, I had no idea how in-depth you could use Adobe libraries, which I really love that one. And then you also did a full LATS lab for us as well. Can you tell me a little bit about your favorite aspects of teaching, especially like as it relates to the recent tutorials you've shared with us? What are your favorite things to teach?
Although I'm not a fashion designer, I love drawing garments. Because I used to do so many for the trend books that I worked on. And so I love drawing kind of all the little trims and the details. And so I really enjoy kind of that aspect, which is what I did for the Fashion Lab, sort of just showing how to do a little swimsuit and helping people to draw up that type of thing. I'm quite diverse in what I teach, because when I'm at universities, I've taught so many different things. But again, I enjoy that, where I maybe have students that want to do fashion graphics, or they want to do, they've done a photo shoot, but they need to sort of recolor everything and put it into like a big fashion promotion piece. Or it's very diverse what I do end up teaching, but it's all kind of CAD and digital, and it's all either print related or garment related or fashion related.
Nice. I love that. Very versatile. I think that there's something to be said for that as well. Being somebody who's interested in freelance, I think it can be so beneficial. I know for me in the beginning of my career, to be able to do CADs, to be able to do flat or tech packs or fit meetings, or to understand trims, or, you know, gathering information for the face card, or there's so many different pieces that are involved, especially in trend forecasting, pulling color palettes, reading Pantones, pulling colors, separating a file. So I love that you teach a lot of these things. I think it's really important for anyone listening you should always be looking for ways to grow and expand your skill set, whether it's all the new tech coming out or it's the old school ways of doing things. Like, just having an understanding is so important, and can sometimes give you those like back pocket skill sets that get you more work. Yeah.
And I think for me, like, I love to draw and I love to paint, and I still use that in my practice. Not enough at sometimes the year, but it's still my starting point, because I think I don't want to lose that skill set, because that's where I came from. And I think it's the same with teaching other people, that I will always say, can you draw? Can you paint? Because if you can, let's start there. And then you could draw something else, and then we could put it into a digital format. And it's sometimes just letting people realize that it's all a possibility. And that's definitely the way that I would tend to do things. I still draw and I paint.
So I know over the past couple of years that you've been going through some personal challenges. Do you mind sharing a bit about what that's looked like and what life looks like for you now?
Yeah, absolutely. So when well, 2020 would be a year that we would all remember for the COVID pandemic beginning. So when we went into the pandemic, and in the UK, the schools were shut. I can't remember which month, but it was by kind of March, April time. My husband was having some investigations for a lump, and just as the schools had shut and COVID was kind of on the news everywhere, he was diagnosed with cancer. So we're kind of 4 years on from that, I guess. It was a blood cancer where he was kind of stable with it, so we didn't treat. But last year, just over a year ago, it progressed and he went through treatment. So at that point in, I think, 2022, I had to stop work completely, everything. With the exception of some of my teaching, which just kind of ticked along. I stopped working so that I could care for him and so that we could go through treatment, because it was big, it was chemo, it was horrible. And this was the point where we had two little boys. So he was diagnosed when my youngest was 1.5.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So we've been through a lot. And it's kind of ongoing. I don't think you really leave it, although he's in remission now, which is amazing.
That's amazing.
The rebuilding of our lives has been major, because it's kind of turned everything upside down for 4 years, over and over again. So I did stop working completely. So did he. He was off for a long time, off sick. And I came back to work in kind of September 23. And I'm just finding my feet, tiptoeing into everything at my own pace. And actually, I've been really busy. It's been a busy year so far, which is amazing. And I just about feel capable of kind of being busy.
Yeah.
Because everything was so big in our personal world, I definitely could not run my business from home, because I'd always been freelance at home. And I think going through treatment changed the face of everything, where I just thought, do you know, that's one step too far. I can't run a business from my house after everything we've been through. So I've moved out in terms of my work, and I now have a lovely little studio in a nearby town near the university where I work at, and I'm doing everything from here. And it's been really, really good for me. Not to say that freelance at home, it was really good for me previously, like it was always working for me. But I think when this happened, we just needed to separate my business from our home life.
Yeah.
Or I sort of needed that separation where, you know, if I'm online a lot or I need to focus, I just needed a separate space to do that from. So it's been really positive. It was kind of a big move to take on a studio.
Yeah.
But so far, it's kind of been good. It's been really good.
I'm so glad to hear that he's in remission.
Yeah.
And that things are okay. I mean, that's so hard. And to be able to be there for him during that time is kind of amazing. And then to come back to your career, I mean, there's something to be said for being able to come back to it.
Yeah.
But I totally understand wanting a separate space, like away from maybe everything you've experienced and feeling like you have a fresh start.
Absolutely. And I think because when treatment happened very quickly, it was suddenly, oh, okay, so we're not just seeing how this goes, right, we need treatment now. And he started treatment about 3 or 4 weeks before my little boy, my youngest, started school. Oh. So the timings were crazy, because I was getting him into school. My oldest was also in school. And then we've got treatment going on at home. I think before I realized that was happening, I kind of envisioned, right, my little boy is going to school, I'll be able to work more, I've got all these ideas. And then none of that happened. It was, oh, actually, I've got to stop work completely. And that was the first time I realized how much of your kind of identity is wrapped up in your work. And I kind of really missed it, not being able to just do something and design and think in a sort of way,
yeah,
that's creative. So I knew how much I needed to get back to it for my own kind of mental health and the separation of being a mom and being a wife and helping at home to being what I am at work. I really needed it, I think. So it's been kind of good for me to come back to work and have separate space to do that.
Yeah. I think as creatives, it's really, like you said, it's a piece of us.
Yeah.
And when you're missing that piece, you don't feel yourself.
Yeah.
So it's nice that you get a chance to kind of return to yourself here.
Yes.
And then,
yes,
lately. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I'm just so happy to hear that things are going well. I wish nothing but the best for you in your new space and your new beginnings there. What does life look for you now, like on a daily basis? Where's your focus at this time in this new space? Like, what's kind of first on what you're going to tackle in your new space?
I am at the time of year where my teaching will slow down now. So within about 3 to 4 weeks, probably less, it will stop completely. And then I have 6 months where I kind of do a switch and everything is about being creative and designing. So for me, although I don't have an agent and I don't have a studio that I'm working for at the moment, that's kind of my next step, because I find with the freelancing, working to somebody else's deadline and time scales is difficult for me at the moment. So I think for me, it's kind of just starting to build print collections again, get quicker at doing it, get used to doing it again, because I'm a bit out of practice, and see if I can find a rep, see if I can find a studio to work with that, and not so much the freelance side of things. So I am just heading into a bit more of a creative kind of stage for a few months before September, October, everything gets really busy again.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, there's no shortage of amazing studios to work with where you're located. So I think you'll be okay there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What advice, I always like to ask this question, whether you're speaking to yourself at the very beginning of your journey or you're talking to someone listening who's maybe just getting started, what advice would you give an emerging artist in our space, in the space that we're in, service pattern for fashion? What do you wish you knew at the beginning that you would offer up to someone right now?
I think it's actually realizing that there's time. There is a lot of time ahead of you, because I work with a lot of maybe 20-year-olds around that age. They get very worried by being the new graduates. And then if they haven't got a job within that year, there's the next lot of graduates coming out and they feel like, oh, I should have got a job by now. And I remember feeling like that completely, that you should be just getting into that first job and or having it all worked out. I think there is just a lot of time, because even me at this point, I've just had sort of 1 to 2 years break and I can still come back. So you can take your time to figure it out and maybe try some things. And if that's not quite right, do it for a while and then kind of pivot into something else. And that's all okay. It's all experience.
It all becomes a part of your journey and your skill set, no matter which direction you head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's really good advice, because looking back, you do realize I was worried and feeling like there's someone behind you saying, hurry up, you're behind. And we're not ever really.
No.
It's always there for you.
Yeah.
So for those who want to follow along your journey, learn a little bit more about you, where can we find you?
So I am on LinkedIn, just as Catherine Wise, I believe, and Instagram. My Instagram is not very up to date, I will admit, but I'm on Instagram as Catherine Wise Print Design, I think.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I'll make sure to link all your profiles as well in the show notes. Thank you for joining and sharing your journey and your insights with our community. It's been nice chatting with you.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Print Life Podcast. If you're a surface pattern designer who's interested in learning how to design, market, and sell your prints in the fashion industry, I'd love to work with you. Head over to lesliekenahan.com to learn more about how you can get started today. See you next time.